Well, hello there, folks. I've got a little story here today. I'm going to break away from the norm, and I'd like to relate this little story to you, if you'd be kind enough to lend an ear and listen. You know, it seems today that there's a lot of confusion out there about Bibles and about churches and about the way that we're supposed to be paying our respects to our mighty God. And I got to thinking about it, and a few thoughts came across my mind that I just figured I'd relate to you if you wouldn't mind listening for a few moments. Now, I've entitled my little message today, "The Little Church That Cried." The Little Church That Cried. You know, I've never, never, never in all my days as a Christian even imagined the overwhelming apostasy that's sweeping through Christendom. No, I ain't. Pick a church, any town, any Sunday. Just wait outside until the singing starts. And then discreetly enter in and slip into a chair or a pew with a good view. Well, bring along a set of earplugs and dark glasses in case the drums are too loud or the lights are too bright and showy. Then select yourself a Bible, any Bible that may be available. For the next half hour, count the number of times you may hear the name of Jesus mentioned. In the songs, in the sermon, in all things that are coming at you, how many times you hear Jesus, the name of our Savior, mentioned. If the congregation stands up, well, you stand up also. If they swing and sway and reach up towards the ceiling, well, simply hold fast to the seat in front of you and try to keep your eyes open to avoid slipping into a self-induced trance. If the lady in front of you wearing the denim hip huggers begins to moan, reinsert your earplugs and close your eyes and lift your face up toward the ceiling to ease the temptation of the gyrating midriff flesh before you. And when the speaker, orator, you know, that guy in the faded blue jeans with the Hawaiian shirt, is he still called a pastor? Well, whoever, whatever, you'll know him because he's the only one carrying a hard copy of Jack and Jill. Anyway, after he's finished passing out the accolades to all the good people in his church and thanking little Gus and his brother Tommy for cutting his lawn and acknowledging the continuous growth of Mrs. Minnie's Great Dane, when all is said and done, then he has 10 minutes to bear down on the Word. Then he opens his copy of Jack and Jill and starts out with, "You know, when I was a young boy, as opposed to an old boy, living high in the mountains of Tennessee, well, before 10 minutes is up, the boys in the band are beginning to set up for their next session. You know, that's the first time I ever heard a rock version of Amazing Grace." Now, I want to tell you, when them people got on their feet and the lampshades on the wall began a-trembling, and the lights were flickering all over the place, I just thank God there was a clear path to that exit. Yeah. Has it happened in your church yet? Well, if it does, come along and let's just gather at the river. Tell me, am I making fun of a good old King James Bible-believing Baptist church? No way. Forgive me, Lord, but I just had to see with my own eyes. Why, our churches is getting smaller and them other ones is getting bigger. I came from a small church, about 50 or so on a good cookie night. We just loved to sing them old traditional hymns by Fanny Crosby and Frances Havergal. The preacher was always a finely dressed man. Why, he'd spend most of the service on the scriptures of God. And he'd just explain everything so well that even old Archie Cradle Creek could smile all the way out the door. We just loved the King James Bible. Someone once said it was very piotic. What I'm trying to say is it was rhymey in some places. Kind of caught your ear. Sounded real good, you know what I mean? Well, anyway, like I said, there weren't more than a few folk who came to our little Baptist church, but I declare everybody there got a bucket full of blessings. Yes, sir. Then one day a stranger came to our church from another town, up north, I believe. He had a paper in his hand and a big fat check tacked to it with a paper clip. Asked if he could share it all with us before he left. Came to be was some sort of a developer. Wanted to buy our little church and even the cornfield out back. Kind of figured he was getting closer, or we was getting closer to town out here. Fact is, we was. Yeah, we was getting closer to town. Or was the town getting closer to us? And when a small country church finds itself in some urban backyard, well, you can be sure we are going to get urbanized. It's been said you can take the Christian out of the church, but you can't take the church out of the Christian. Well, I guess what they really meant was that you can't lose your salvation. No, sir, you can't. The good book tells us that once saved, always saved. Sealed, yes, sir, sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Come on to me, and I will in no wise cast you out. That's what Jesus said. No man can pluck you out of his hand once you're saved. You know, the next thing I knew, we was all in a rented building somewhere on the outskirts of town. The main thing was, though, we was all together. The same body of Christ, worshiping the same God, with the same old King James Bible. What more can a child of God want? Then one day, an evangelist came to our church with a whole lot of new information that many of us hadn't heard before. Oh, he was a fine old gentleman, sent straight from God. And you know, when God sends his messenger, you'd best understand he sends them for a purpose. Living out in the country and knowing all my brothers and sisters in the Lord on a first name basis, and being a little up in years, well, I don't think we was all ready for what was coming. The fact of the matter is, we was too comfortable. Some might even say, complacent. When the evangelist finished preaching, I was so taken aback. Well, I didn't know whether to believe it or not. He said there was a new kind of church out there called New Evangelical. Well, that just went right by my ear like a leaf in the wind. First, I wanted to know What happened to the old one? His exact words was, it got swallowed up by the new one. Well, we're still here, I said. The place got really quiet about this time. He began to explain the things we didn't want to really hear. New or neo-evangelicalism was something the devil brought into them big new churches. I guess it was spreading like wildfire all over the land. When he said that the devil brought in over 400 new Bibles, I said, well, what's wrong with that? We all need new Bibles from time to time. The problem is, each one of them is different from the other, he said. Ooh. Was about this time that Rosie Calloway gave out a terrible gasp, like she was about to give up the ghost right there in church. Oh, my land! And she sat back down. You mean to say we've got 400 Bibles and no two of them is alike? Well, I'm of the mind that God wrote only one Bible. Which he did, said the preacher. It's the work of the devil, it is. And why would he do a fool thing like that? The preacher went on to explain, without any further interruption, well, you see, folks, ever since day one, guess some folks just didn't like everything the Bible told them they should be or do. Of course, some more than others. Anyway, since the devil knows his time is short, well, he got his angels working round the clock, trying his best to confuse everybody and stir up as much trouble as he can. He knows he can't touch the children of God, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit having a seal, but you see, there's plenty of folk that ain't really saved. They only think they is. And when you think you are saved and you ain't really saved at all, that's not good. Not good at all, no. Sometimes it's downright hard enough for a true Christian to hold fast to the Word of God. And even we complain at times. But thanks to God, He never gives up on us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, He said. It seems more and more people are feeling the heat of angel wings and sensing they is in some kind of bondage that God is holding too tight. You know, like a mother hen won't let you stray far from the nest. The apron strings of the Lord have become too tight for some folks, and they find it hard to breathe. Like all this constant threat of a literal fiery hell, and having to live in a box till the Lord returns. Then that old devil, he keeps on picking away at those weakened minds by writing all these hundreds of new Bibles. You see, what these Bibles do is take the hurt out of being a Christian. When I say hurt, I mean always having to be the way God wants us to be. Not being able to do the things we used to do. Like enjoy life with our old friends, whether they're saved or not. Telling us to come out from among them and be separate. And touch not the unclean thing. I mean, just because your mother ain't saved, does that mean she's unclean? Or your brother, because he hangs out with his unsaved friends? Does that mean that they're unclean? And what about your sister who made a mistake and got pregnant? Does that mean she's unclean? Exactly what does the Lord God mean by unclean? Well, it means anything that's not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what unclean is. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Whether it's a pregnant sister out of wedlock or having a drink or two with the boys, there ain't no difference. It's the blood. It's the blood of the Lamb of God. So long comes the devil with all these new Bibles, and if you look hard enough, you fall plumb into his trap. Because he wrote one just right to fit your lifestyle. Just right for you. So with all these new Bibles, even preachers and pastors and evangelists are discovering or thinking they've been under bondage as well. And so they're turning to the devil's writings for some kind of release or compromise for freedom, for the new way to live for God, which ain't no good way at all. It just ain't. My friends, I come before you with only the wisdom God can give me. It hasn't changed one iota since the day God wrote it. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." I have God's word. You have God's word. Hold fast to it, and He will hold fast to you. God bless you. Amen.